It's Not Just You with Stacy and Lynn, a safe place to talk about issues and life, especially the things most people don't want to discuss. Now, here are your hosts, Stacy DeFord and Lynn Montemare on Empower Radio.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. I'm Stacy DeFord.
And I'm Lynn Montemare.
And of course, we are brought to you by SeatSitters.com. And we'd like to welcome our new sponsor, Artistry by Annette.
Yay.
Now, we're going to post some pictures on our website and our Facebook page, because we are both glowing today because we both went to see Annette. I went Friday, Lynn went Saturday, and we had, she's got this new machine. It's called a hydrofacial, and it removes layers of dead skin cells, and then it spins distilled water across your skin surface. So there's no trauma, there's no inflammation, there's no downtime. And also, what it does, you know what microneedling is?
Yeah.
And you've seen all those pictures of all the celebs doing it. It does that only... it's nano needling.
It's not painful at all.
Not painful. There's no downtime, and it actually creates all these little tiny pathways. I don't quite understand the science of it, but so all those nutrients get in your skin. I have been touching my face since Friday. I'm a little obsessed. It feels so amazing. You want to feel this amazing. And in fact, right now, all new clients receive 20% off their first treatment. Thank you, Annette.
Thank you.
You can give her a call, 248-980-6235. And again, we're going to post that number on all our social media, but get in and see Annette so you can glow too. 248-980-6235.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. You know, I don't want to say, you know, I was kind of looking forward to today's podcast in a way of it being almost a little bit cathartic. You know,
really?
Talking. Yeah. On our last podcast last week, we kind of led into OCD.
Yes.
And that we would talk about it a little bit more this week. And so that's what our topic is today, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Which I have to say, I feel like it's one of those things that, like, I don't know about you. Well, I never heard of it when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like we started hearing about it. And then it was like everywhere. And it was on, you know, you saw characters on TV shows and stuff. But I never knew anybody that had it or had said they did until I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were the first person I ever met who said, yeah, I'm dealing with this, which I thought I was like so impressed.
Well, it's funny you say that, especially because that was years ago. And now here
was
we are,
a long time ago.
Here we are doing a podcast where we're trying to say, don't feel shy to talk about things that, you know, you have, because it could help others.
Exactly.
Which we've seen already in the short time we've been doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also funny that you say growing up, you had never heard of it, right?
Right.
So I can tell you my first recollection of this was when I was 3 years old.
Three
years old.
That young.
Yeah. And
what was your first recollection?
I had a doll that, you know, I would sleep with. And, you know, you kiss your dolls goodnight or whatever. Well, if I didn't kiss her in this high number of times goodnight, then my parents would die.
You actually thought that? Because that's what, maybe we should explain what OCD is. Because again, you're the only one, you know, I know, I probably know other people, but I was looking it up and it's when you have obsessive thoughts to the point where it takes up your time and it makes you do things like compulsively. So that's why it's called obsessive compulsive disorder. But your brain cannot stop these thoughts. And sometimes even if you do the things you're compelled to do, they don't stop.
Right. Well, you read a good article, because you pretty much, that's exactly what it feels like. And it does take up your time. I mean, because there's other ones like hand washing, cleaning,
touching.
I have the counting touching.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I touch certain things.
A certain number of
times. Do you ever see that show Monk with Tony Shalhoub, where he plays a detective?
Maybe I saw one episode.
He has a number of disorders on that show, but obsessive compulsive disorder is one of them that he has. Like, if he walks by things, he has to touch them.
Yes.
And only once, and he can't skip anything. And if he accidentally touches something twice, he has to start over.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where that would be exhausting.
Oh, it is. And mine were increments of four.
Okay.
And so based on how much anxiety or stress I had going on, it would increase to, like, you know, instead of eight in 16, it might be 32 times, you know, eight sets of
four. So you're 3 years old and you knew the difference between four and eight. And
no, 16. No. Back then, it was not.
I'm like, that is impressive.
No, back then, actually, the number was 89 times.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would have to do something 89 times. And I, you know, I just remember counting. I mean, maybe it was four. I don't know when, I remember I had to do it. And if I didn't, my parents would die and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, you know, even today, even at this age, and we'll talk a little bit more about the progression of it. But even if I get into bed and I haven't done my like routine, because I'll say, I'm just going to go to bed. I'll try not to do it, you know, because that's what obsessive compulsive people, I think I can, I hope, I don't want to speak for everyone, but you try to say, I'm going to, you know, not do it, right? But you touched on it. You said the thought keeps in your mind until you have to do it.
Like, you know, it'll you keep can't you up at night.
Keep me up. It'll keep me up. I feel unsettled if I don't do it. And I was reading, I Googled some like quotes or thoughts on obsessive compulsive disorder and from people who have it. And someone described it as having like being a puppet, and a puppeteer is kind of pulling you back to do it until, you know, they let you go. And it was like, that's totally what it feels like. Like, I don't have control over it. Like, I have to go do it, or I'm not like settled. I'm not like ready to move on, or I feel like all day, and I never let it go all day. I do it because then I have this, after I have this argument with myself about why I'm not going to do it, then it's just easier for me to go do it. And then I can move on with my day.
Wow.
And so I had this all through my childhood, right?
Okay. When did you tell your parents?
Yeah. Great question. So I will never forget. I was 18. So here I was. My mom did notice things. Like, why do you, like, I would also tell her everything. Like, if I thought I touched or scratched a cup, like, I remember one time I brought her this coffee cup. I said, I think I might have scratched this a little bit, like, with my fingernail. You know, I was always so worried about this touching thing. And she said, please stop telling me these things.
Ooh.
Like, she didn't mean it meanly, but yeah. She just thought, like, you know, like any kid, you're like, what, in, like you said, it wasn't a known thing back then to know what
exactly
your kid might be having going on. And let me back up one thing. One other thing I had all the time were canker sores, which are like, you know, they're described as little ulcers in your mouth. And
yes,
they're mostly a result of stress.
Exactly.
So obsessive compulsive is kind of like, you know, having all this anxiety in you. And it was coming out in this form, but I didn't put two and two together back then. That I found out later.
And you wouldn't. And it does. And it, according to the stuff I read, it does go with, it can go with depression. It can go with anxiety disorders. It can go along with like other, what we consider falling under the mental health category.
Yeah. So I was home alone and I was watching a 2020 episode when I was 18 years old. And it was about obsessive compulsive disorder.
Wow.
It was like the biggest epiphany I've ever had in my entire life. I was sitting there feeling like I was watching my life.
And I was going to say, do you feel like somebody had spied on you?
100%.
Recreated it,
yes,
on TV?
Because this is before the internet. I'm only 18. I didn't know what this was. There's no place to type in, hey, why do I have to touch things four times, or I think someone in my life's going to die.
And I'm assuming you didn't know anybody else who had to do that.
Nobody ever brought it up.
Okay.
But like a couple people close to me noticed my habits and they would say things like, will you stop doing that? Or they would, if I, like another thing I do a lot of times, and it's only, it's not every day. It's not like I'm going to look over at your notebook right now and have to straighten it. But if I'm in a certain situation, it's usually a stress situation and something's not straight or congruent or whatever, I have to like straighten it out. I have to. Even I could be at like a weird place, like a doctor's office, and they're talking to me. But before I leave, I have to go back and push their tissue box straight. And I just blow it off. I walk out. I'm sure they're like, what the heck?
You should watch Monk.
Should I?
He really does a lot of that.
Really?
Like, I think you would like him.
Oh, I think I would. Yeah, he sounds like someone I would like.
Okay, so you're watching this 2020, and did that cause you to tell your parents?
Yes, I told my mom at that point because I was dying. I was felt like, you know, first of all, I don't know why. You feel like embarrassed or...
Of course.
You know, like, I don't know why I felt that way. And I was really... this is a bad word too. I don't want to say like ashamed, but like something I had that I couldn't, like, I didn't want to talk. I felt it was not a good thing to say, like I had this problem. You know what I mean?
Well, especially if you're the only one, if you don't know anybody else who has it.
And I thought she was going to say,
and it's making you take up all this time. Of course you're going to feel ashamed. I would like to point out now, because I did do some research, approximately one in 100 kids and one in 40 adults suffers from OCD. I think you are very rare because they say the average age of onset is 19.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I also think that the one in 100 children is probably
low.
Yeah, because they probably don't even know what they have until they're older.
You're right.
Because again, if you're doing this, like I hid it. You know, I mean, my parents, my mom would see the little things I would do and get like, I don't want to say she was irritated in a bad way, but of course, who wouldn't be if every kid told you everything they touched, every time they thought they overstepped on a line or, you know, all this stuff I was doing, you know, she just, who would know what that was? No one.
Exactly.
So I did finally tell her, and I made an appointment with a psychiatrist, and I went there and like right away, I mean, it was like, yeah, you, this...
It was like you had a sign on your forehead that you didn't know was there.
Right. Textbook. Yep. And I don't know why. And you brought up something last week to me about, you know, a kid who might be a little bit depressed and the mom reached out to you. And then she said her son was like apprehensive to maybe want to go to the psychologist or psychiatrist. And we said, why would you be apprehensive? Like, what's putting this in our kids' heads to be apprehensive? They should say, oh, I might have a problem. I could get help. Yay. I was the same way. So I was like, I go there and he says medication helps with this. You would have thought, like, I was like, I'm like, I don't want to take medication. I don't believe in that. Why don't I believe in that? I felt like I probably got that a little bit from my parents.
Yeah.
Like they weren't, that generation didn't openly go see psychiatrists.
No.
Or psychologists. That's probably the other reason I felt really bad.
Well, and I think you were still a teenager. And I think about my friend's son and even my son, like, didn't want to go right away. Mm-hmm. And still, that's not his favorite thing. And I think it's because, especially when you're a teenager, you just want to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
You don't want to be different.
Right.
And you don't want to be seen as needing help.
No.
Because, you know, kids especially, they're not going to school talking about seeing their psychiatrist or needing help. So that makes so much sense that, especially as a teenager, you would feel like, no, I don't need this. I don't want this. I can handle it myself. And mm-hmm. that's how teenagers feel.
Right. And that's exactly how I felt. Like I kept saying, there's got to be another way. Like I can, you know, I'm only 18. I can retrain my brain or whatever. And so he started saying, well, we'll meet and we'll, you know, we'll go over this and we'll talk about it every week. And one of the things he kept saying was, do you really think it's realistic? Like there's the part of your brain, right, that tells you what to do. But then the other part has to say to you, if you don't touch this 8 times, is your dad really going to die as a result? Are you really being the cause of your dad's death? You know? And when I was sitting there with him, I could say, well,
of course
not. Clearly, you say that out loud. And no, me not. Because I started to do this thing, which was dangerous, where I would have to see a car that passed me 4 times in 4 different mirrors or 4 different views. Like I'd have to see side window or side mirror, rearview mirror, turn my head and look.
Oh.
So it was like distracting me from the road, you know? And I started saying, now watch me get in my own accident because, you know, I'm doing this. And, you know, so he kept saying, but you really don't even think about that. Just focus on, do you really think your dad's going to die as a result of you not looking at that car 4 times? And I kept saying to him, listen, as I'm sitting here, you're saying it. And yes, it doesn't sound, what's the word? Like, it doesn't sound.
It's not rational.
Rational. Yes. The irrational part of me is consuming me. See, that's why it's, you know, obsessive compulsive.
Exactly. Because
there's an obsession about the compulsion. You know, you have to obsessively. You're obsessively obsessing on this compulsion.
And studies
to do that.
Have shown about it that it is a neurological disorder.
Yeah.
So it's not like people are making it up. It actually, they've done studies, they've done scans, and people with OCD, their brains are actually functioning differently.
Yeah.
Than people who don't have it. Okay, we're going to take a very short break here, and we're going to talk about, because one of the things that this is very funny actually. Our sponsor fits right in. If you have the germaphobe version
right.
of OCD, we can actually help you.
Yes, we can. Seat sitters can.
Yes.
Yes, they can. Because, you know, we spend so much time worrying about our health and exercising and eating right.
Well, and I told you last time I flew, there was a woman sitting in the row ahead of me mm-hmm. and she took out some wipes and she wiped down her seat. But then that smell of alcohol and antiseptic was in the plane. And you know how that like gets on your tongue? And I'm sitting there going, and I wish I'd had a seat sitter with me to just give her.
Right, exactly.
Because I'm like, you're ruining everybody else's flight.
Yes, take this. And so speaking of airplanes, you know, they're filled with nasty germs.
Yeah.
Not just the woman in front of you, but nasty germs everywhere. Because people are getting on and getting off, and they're sick, and they're coughing, and they're sneezing. And many times after you fly, you often end up getting sick, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why seat sitters was actually invented. It was created for clean, healthy travel. The kit comes with a seat cover, a tray table cover, 2 sanitary wipes, an allergy allergy mask and a no nut sticker for those who have allergies. For under $20 per kit, you can fly healthy. So don't spend another vacation with a sick family member. Order your Seat Sitters kit today at seatsitters.com.
And you're not going to offend everybody else flying around you.
No, actually, they're probably going to be bugged that they don't have one.
Exactly.
So I told you I'm flying soon, and I feel like I need to bring one for everyone in the plane. Because they're going to be like, oh, it's just she's going to be healthy on this trip that we're all going on. Well, sorry.
Okay, well, back to OCD, because one of the things I read is, so you're at the doctor, and there is, unfortunately, there's no cure.
No.
It's like asthma or allergies or diabetes. It's something that needs to be managed.
Yes.
For the rest of your life.
Yep.
And you can do that with therapy and medication.
Mm-hmm. So I was doing the therapy because I didn't want to take the medication. And then these awful canker sores just kept, they were so bad that I literally had to several times get help from I had to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
And he had to put acid right on the canker sores. It was the
wow.
They were so big, I couldn't talk. Okay. And he's like, what is going on with you? You know, you are, you know, young girl, what are you so stressed about? And I kept saying, I don't know. I just have all this inside me. You know, I don't know what it is. So he sent me to a 6-week program at a hospital, you know, outpatient. I just went. And here I was like by far the youngest person in this class, which I thought they were probably all like, what does she have to be stressed about? And I couldn't, you know, tell them. I was just doing normal teenager stuff. And I really didn't have a lot of stress. I mean, I was going to school, I have a job, but it wasn't like I was crazy stressed out. And went about my business. Well, fast forward till I get my first real job. And I'm sitting at my desk working, and this girl who is very outgoing, you know, probably 10, 12 years older than me, comes flying in one day from lunch, stops in my office, and she makes a comment about having to touch something 4 times and then says, oh, I have OCD. And she was laughing, though. And it was almost as bad as that 2020 episode. I mean, how my brain went, like, I was like, wait, what? And I was so caught off guard. I said, you have OCD? And to this day, I don't really know if she has OCD or she was being like
using funny. It as an excuse,
like, which someone wrote to us on our Facebook page and said that, you know, when they heard this was a topic, they were like, I trust you guys are going to talk about this in a, you know, a solid, you know, informative manner.
Yeah.
Not, you know, making fun of it like many people I know. Make fun of it like, oh, she has OCD or
well, it
he
became
has OCD.
Like when it became known, it did become like a character trait. Like,
yeah.
Like, so I brought up Monk, that character, like he has it. He has real issues and you see him dealing with them. But there were other characters who I would say if that woman was a character on TV, she would just, that would be her quirk. Like,
right.
Like the girl who falls over things.
Right.
It's not a funny quirk. It's
no.
A very serious thing that people have to deal with.
Right.
And it's, I can't relate. I only know when I travel, I get anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so when my daughter was little and was a skater, I can't tell you how many times we would get in the car to go to her skating competition. And I would say, I would have to stop the car and go around to the back and look and make sure we had both of her skates. And then there were times I would just say, honey, crawl in the back, open your bag, count your skates out loud. And
yeah.
She'd say, I know I have them both. I packed them. I'm like, I know. I just need to hear it. Otherwise, I'm going to be anxious the whole trip.
Right.
And see, once she did, I was fine. That's like the.
Yeah. And everyone has something like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, like my mom, right when my mom found out, she said, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Every time I see a penny, if it's heads up, I have to pick it up, no matter if a car's coming or whatever. You know, she said that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Because you have one thing. And
exactly.
It's like, pick up a penny for good luck. But I was like, okay, you know, all right, yes. It's
people
like that, but times 100.
To understand.
Sure. Sure.
Yes, exactly. And my poor daughter, that poor child.
Right. Well, but she never didn't have both of her skates, right?
Of course
right?
not, because she packed them herself.
So when my friend said that, it totally, I said, I have OCD. And it was the first time I ever had told anyone that wasn't like my mom or family. Like,
wow.
I think my sister knew and one of my girlfriends from high school knew because she was another one who said, what are you doing touching everything all the time? And she's the one that jokingly always comes in and turns all the things crooked that's on my desk or whatever,
oh.
You know? And I don't mind because she does it all the time. And sure enough, when she's not looking, I put them all straight back. You know what I mean?
Is my notebook's crooked? Is it bothering you?
No, it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I told you, it has
Just
to be
checking.
A certain situation, certain
okay.
things. Yeah. But she knew, my mom knew, and my sister also caught on
yeah,
to what I was doing all
course.
The time and said, what are you doing all the time? But other than that, I hadn't told anybody. So when she said that, I felt like I could like say it out loud. So I said it and I don't, it was great. It felt good to say it, but I don't think she really
took you seriously.
Maybe didn't think I meant like I'm diagnosed, like I'm seeing a doctor for this. I have, you know. So then as I got older and problems got bigger and more stressful, it got out of control. Like out of control. It was taking up, like I would go into a bathroom and I'd have to do so many of my things so many times.
What was going on in your life at this time?
You know, like breaking up with a boyfriend or, you know, starting a new job. And so even now.
So life, normal life, like the things that cause stress in life and cause people to react in with anxiety or exacerbate their depression or exacerbate whatever they have going on, those are going to exacerbate your OCD.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So even recently, right? So I've been dealing with this pretty much my whole life. And even recently, two things, and you're going to be like, wow, those are two ends of the spectrum, but this is how it works. So a friend of mine just was, you know, diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the day it happened, I noticed all my things were going sideways on me. You know, I was getting to a pretty good spot where I have them. I do them every day still, but they're not out of control. I've got them pretty much where I can control. It's not, I don't feel like it's taking over my life. I don't mind it.
We
it's
spend almost a lot natural. Of time together mm-hmm. and I haven't even noticed.
Good. So well, please don't start looking.
I'm not going to because that's not you to me. That doesn't matter to me. You could be doing it right now for all I know.
Right.
That's,
you don't, right.
That doesn't matter to me.
Exactly. Thank you. So I started doing it immediately that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, what am I? And at first I didn't even understand what I was doing. Like I was like, why? And I was, oh, because I'm like worried, you know, and so that happens. Then it can be, and this happens all the time, if my kids are in like a major sporting thing, like my daughter had state championship game this past Saturday for the entire week because she had a game Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I was doing all my stuff because I am so anxious about the thing. That's not like them winning was going to make me or break me.
No, it but
was
you're just anxious for them.
The anxiety just made me, oh, if you don't do this, you know, then they won't win. Or if you do this, you know, they'll, like, it was all this all week long. And it's like, my gosh, I can even get this stressed over a stupid hockey tournament.
But it's not. You know? It's because you're, you know, you're worried about your kids. You want them to succeed. It's a normal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a normal.
You put a lot of work and effort into it. You want it
thing.
To happen for them.
Okay. We are starting to get to the end here. So have you ever taken medication?
Yes.
So, does it help?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does. I've taken it twice for extended long periods of time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help you.
Yeah, it
just
does,
in case if somebody is out there listening going, 100%. I've not sought help or I don't know if medication would work for me.
Or if you're noticing your kid
is
really anxious and even if they have little things they're doing, think a little bit deeper about what it could be.
Well, yeah. And so if you do notice your kid, like what are the questions you should ask them? Because I tried to find that and I couldn't. There was no guideline that I could find where these are the questions to ask your child if you know these things going on. Like, what would have helped if your parents had asked you?
Maybe if they said, is there any aspect of your life that you don't feel like you're having control over? And if so, how do you cope with that? Because I didn't have control over who lives or who dies. Mm-hmm. I didn't have control over if they get home safe at night. So instead, I was coping with it by doing these things to make sure they get home safe every night.
Okay. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because I wouldn't know what to ask.
Because it's a really unique thing. Or do you know, well, first off, they were washing their hands all the time. You're going to know that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a neat freak about things can't be out of place. I mean, that's a noticeable one.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So some of these are a lot more noticeable than the touching and the counting, you know, because that's what I have. And I hid it for a long time because people didn't, you know what I was doing. So, I mean, I would just ask them if they're feeling anxious about things, you know, how are they coping with that? Do they need to talk to someone? You know, if you really see that they have some of these habits, you might just even, you know, show them the definition of that, depending on their age.
True.
And ask them if this sounds like anything familiar to them. But I will tell you, medicine did help.
Okay.
And because it makes you less anxious and it makes you feel a little bit more in control.
Okay.
You know, and I think what else happens or what else gets better is with age. because all like crap stuff started happening to me. So I thought, no matter how many times I touch something, it's still happening. So maybe I should just stop touching things. But I couldn't let go of it totally. But that did make me go, okay, Lynn, you clearly have no control over this.
That is hilarious. But again, even if you rationally realize I don't have control over these things, this is a neurological disorder
right.
that is going to continue.
100%.
So it's good that you can laugh about it
yeah.
and feel a little freer in it. But at the same yeah. time, if you're in that situation, if it is affecting your life, you can't just laugh it off.
No.
Like you might want to get some help controlling
it. You definitely want to get help because it's going to spiral out of control. Like I said, before I got help, that's why I was getting... It was showing itself in other ways.
Exactly. Well, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
Like if you address your anxiety, how it comes out in one way, it'll show up in another because your body is going to get rid of it in one way or another.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Lots of great topics. Lots of great conversation here. I feel like we might want to bring in an expert for a future show just to talk about this some more.
I would love to. Yeah.
I find it so interesting. We'd love to hear your comments. Visit our website, StacyandLynnPodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And we will see you next week.
And thank you again to our sponsors, SeatSitters.com and Artistry by Annette.
Yes. And thank you for listening.